That's so tender and so good. Well, she is now, she is a cat lover. Oh, she's a cat lover. And that's just the way I guess things, they began. She says they are just more, well, I like it with certain things. I like it even with the cooked cabbage. I think it really goes in, raw cabbage works in with it real good in the slaw. I don't know. I think it really does help them. A slaw helps most every kind of vegetable, I think, that we have. And meat. Real good.
Well, it's a salad, I guess.
Uh-huh. Well, of course it's a vinegar or the dressing that's in the slaw that makes it a work in with meat. So well.
Spring onions ought to go with greens.
Oh, yeah. I love onions. Onions with greens. I think that's one of the good things. We used to class the beans as fresh beans in the summer. When they'd come on, we'd have fresh beets, you know. And then, with fresh onions, little onions, but especially greens, always with me, with a little, I like a little onion in there.
Yeah, yeah.
With greens.
Yeah. Well, now that's the thing, you can't get it, Mamma, unless you've got a little garden yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You just got to pay the price.
Got to pay the price. Our neighbor sent us over, or brought us some onions, those kind of onions, you know, that you grow all the winter, and then you just multiply, you know, and come, and they'll come out and sprout little small onions. And she said these didn't sprout much and make multiply like that. They just grew up in one big onion almost, and they were great big things. But they have them, they work all the time.
That's no matter, babe. I thought it was somebody, but it wasn't. Babe? Isn't that everybody?
Uh-huh.
I just thought I heard somebody.
She thought she did, too? Well, I didn't hear anybody. I guess that's my ears.
Well, I didn't hear anybody.
Give me another little half a piece of...
Okay.
Well, I guess, Mamu, you've had some pretty good entertainment today.
I surely have. The thing was that I thought I was going to a church meeting, though. That was so funny about it. But I was going to wear my pants on this morning because I thought it would be kind of cool in the house. And she came in there and said, well, she happened to think that she had a meeting at the church. So she didn't tell me anything more, you know. And I thought it was one of the circle meetings, you know, that the church has, that the women have, you know, during the month like that, or during the week. So I put on a dress then. And when we got there, and they got to discussing, well, all about this meeting they had, planning and doing around.
And everybody there almost had on pants.
And everybody had on pants, yeah.
Face crowd.
Oh, yeah. It's a face crowd, you know, yeah. Yeah, they were a lot of music friends and a lot of them.
And as you walked up the aisle of Holy Trinity, what did you hear? Bernice said,
oh, there's Mamu. Well, there's Mamu. Then it's Ann Little said, oh, Mamu, this is Mamu, and came and loved me. Somebody else then directly spoke to me. And Ms. Reich, you know, came up and spoke to me so well and so glad. She said, I'm glad to see you, you know. And I said, no, I hadn't seen you in so long. She said, no, says, we're back now here to live. And so I looked at her in the face, and she looked very natural. No, so I was glad to see her. Some of my old friends. And I sat through the meeting and went through with all of that. Helen wasn't there. She got the day wrong, didn't she? Or something.
Oh, she did.
Helen saw her. They said, well, where's Helen? They don't know whether she'd been called out of town on account of her mother been sick and something. Somebody said, no, she was at church yesterday, last night. So Faye said, well, maybe we better get in touch with the husband and see where she is. So,
she was over in the office.
No, just over in the office and working, and said she really had gotten it wrong.
She thought it was next week.
Of course, this is an awful busy week, I imagine, far before Easter.
Yeah. And then we stopped at the house.
Yeah.
And Mama didn't even get in the door.
No. No, Carol was out in the yard, so I had to talk to her. She was going to hang out her clothes. See, we talked there a long time, so I guess her clothes got dry. But she was along about getting them out on the line, and we kept talking and talking. I know. So, and then wasn't too long after I went in the house. Then, Jean came by to see us. She said they went out yesterday on a big trip. She seemed to think that I should know something about it, but I've been something.
It's the Bartram Trail.
She said they left at 1:00. Well, she didn't say how they went. Well, I guess in the car, probably with some other friends or somebody. She and Walter.
And little.
Might have been with her.
We were talking about publicity for this memorial thing, and Ann Little said that this historic trip, they just put a spread in the paper yesterday morning, and they thought it was a good thing to do it the morning of the day you were going to have it, because they
it's
had a
really
big turnout.
People, really, yeah.
If you have
it's
it a
right
week
on.
Before, they'll forget the day.
They forget the day.
I hadn't thought about
mm-hmm.
that. And
that's true.
Somebody said, well, you know, the trouble with me is I just don't read the paper.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Sign the paper, I probably don't get around until Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, that's the trouble.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. Somebody in the family
Somebody, though.
There ought to be somebody in every family that reads the paper.
They'll read the paper a little. As Claire Rimmel says, who reads the paper? And Catherine says, I do. She says, Clara takes the paper from me, not for us. So she just despises to read the paper. And she's a reader. You know, she's...
Oh, Clara's a reader?
Yeah, Clara's a good reader. Oh, she reads books all the time, everything she gets a hold of.
Clara's the one who says I guess we should send some of these things to. She's been asking for them. Circulate.
She's a good reader. Well, I don't know if she says so she can have it. The other day she took me to the doctor. Fanny had to go to the hospital on her work day over there, and so she had to leave by 1:00, and so I wasn't to go until 2:00. And so Clara said, now don't you worry about it. Says I'll see that I take her. And she drives the car mostly. Catherine don't like to drive, but she will drive. But it's Clara always that uses the car, drives it. And Clara's sick so much of the time. Well, Catherine does have to drive it. So they took me over to the hospital, and Francis left a note on number and all to call her over to the place, you know, when Charlie thought he could get to see me. If he didn't, he was going to have, he wanted a blood test anyway before I came down, and for me to get the blood test, and he would, that was his day to have just people to go through and give them their, you know, physicals, you know, yearly physicals on Wednesday. And he was all filled up, and he didn't know whether he'd get through with anybody in time to kind of check on me very much. But he did want me to have a fit, check a blood test. And but he got in to me and saw me a little while. And Clara just said, or Fanny just said, well, you can call me when you get through. I'll have somebody to call me. And I'll come get you and take you home. And Clara says, don't you worry about Mamu, you forget her. Says, I'm going to stay with Mamu all the time she's up there and get ready and take her home. And she says, I'll have a book, and it won't bother me a bit. I'll just enjoy being up there, and I can read my book while I'm sitting there. I'll just be satisfied. And don't you worry how long I have to stay. Did we stay? So she says, just give me a book, and she says, my eyes are real good. And she says, I can see. In fact, she has willed her eyes to the, as she dies.
And what was it the Reynolds girls told her? If you felt that you was
going, oh, yeah, she said if I,
home?
Yeah, she said if I got the way that I wanted to come home, come back to Knoxville, and all says all you have to do, says we've got kinfolks all over Florida, says it's just not a town I don't think that we don't have somebody that's kin down here on both sides of their parents. So she says, y'all, just you just let us know, says we'll come get you, we'll.
Well, that's the one
that
they're not down here.
Well, they have got a cousin that has invited them to come down and stay this winter. Clara had such a bad throat trouble that I forget where it is, not very far down below here. Crystal, I don't know if it's Crystal or what. Anyway, and they really come and told her to stay as long as she would. And so Catherine has been trying to get her to come. But she won't leave Catherine by herself up there. She won't. She thinks the nice be, and Faye thinks it's a, Francis thinks it is, would be a good thing for them to be separated.
Yeah.
For a and while, I, you know, because Catherine, of course, does the cooking at home, and Clara does the cleaning and washing up the dishes and things like that. But Catherine is the cook all the time. And,
they sound like Nell and Kate, huh?
It's much like Nell and Kate. Francis calls them that, Nell and Kate. And they just, oh, they think, Catherine thinks she has to come on every Wednesday. She just thinks she has to come Wednesday and stay with me all Wednesday afternoon. Well, I'm by myself a lot of times. Longer than I am on the time that Franny is over at the hospital on Wednesday. But she's just gotten that habit after I came from the hospital of doing that, you know. And so she just comes, well, she goes and works at the Red Cross up the church every morning, every Wednesday morning, and she's then will stop by and stay with me. They take their lunch up there and eat the lunch, and she'll stop by on the way. We usually have tea then or something at home. And she always wants to do something for me. Last time I let her put in stamps in the book when she was there. She wants to do something. And one time I let her just go through my all my envelopes, my good envelopes and bad ones, and my little note things, which were just sick notes for sick people, or just, you know, just little friendship notes or something like that and have them tied up and put a rubber around them. And it was nice,
sure.
Really nice for me, because then I could go into that and see. Of course, I couldn't read what the little, like, if you want to send a sick note, you know, something. I couldn't say what they said, or birthday or something like, but I'd know that it would be all right.
You might send a birthday note to somebody who was sick.
Well, yeah. and this way, what she did, you know, was put all the birthday little things together for me. And she just loves to think that she is doing something that she can help me some way, you know, that way and all. And she helps me with cutting out my net and things of that kind, do my work a lot.
Now that's a help.
She just say, well, what you want me to do today? Mm-hmm. And Clara is right good about it. She'll read to me or something of that kind. And some. And then they like to look at a Clara. Well, they both do. They've got so that they'll look at a story or something that's on the radio, on the TV.
Oh, they will?
Uh-huh. They'll kind of look at it. Keep up with that, but they'll do be doing working something with me there while they even look at that. And Catherine knows to go to the kitchen, make tea, fix it when and where it is, and all about it if she wants any like that. And they are just willing to stay with us anytime.
Well, it's sort of nice to have somebody.
Well, it really is good. And I tell you the truth, I just, now DeWolf called and told me goodbye, and Flossie called and told me goodbye, but Flossie will come, she won't stay for about 10 minutes, she's just got so many things on her hands, she's kind of like Fanny, she's just doing something, or she's got to get back and do something, Russ has got something for her to do, or something
you
like that.
You mean Flossie's like that too?
Oh, Lord, yes. Flossie's got something on hand. She's just a very busy kind of woman. She's really, yeah, she's got almost as many things as Fanny has. They're different types of things, but they do. And,
So Fanny still hasn't mended her ways.
Oh, Lord. No. She's really... I really believe she has gotten in more things now than she did, even after Blanche has passed away, and she don't have to go and look after her twice a week or something like that. But she's taken up other things.
Well, she'll miss Blanche.
Well, she's missed Blanche in a way, but she had gotten to where she felt like she could do all she could for Blanche, and Blanche needed to go on somewhere and go to some home or do something like that, and Blanche wouldn't do it. And she had just kind of lost, felt like she had done just about all that she could do for Blanche in a way. She wouldn't take her suggestions, I don't think, much.
Well,
she got to where that she didn't have enough money to take care of herself, and she was getting where she couldn't even go to the stove and wait on herself or do anything, and she couldn't get any help, but she couldn't pay for any help. She could get it. She wouldn't take what she could get. The kind they come, she was awful hard to please. She just couldn't please anything. So Fanny, I think, really had gotten, she said she really felt like that she'd done just about all she could do for Blanche in a way, in every way.
Well,
so she waited till the last. She did everything, even the last, helped to kind of close up everything. And all. So I really feel like that she felt like that she had done her part. And
Blanche came out there to help her, and she wound up helping Blanche.
Yeah. She wound up a helping Blanche, and she had bought, Fanny had bought a stove, a refrigerator, I don't know what all, and a walker, and a roller chair. I don't know what all Fanny had bought for Blanche. She wasn't able to have them, you know, get them, and she needed them. No, Fanny went and got them, bought them. But I think she had enough money that I don't think Fanny has lost anything much on them. She brought the chair home, the roll-off, or the walker, and I think it's at home, but it's there. But she did a lot. She did a lot for Blanche. Fanny never counted the money, you know. If they needed it, well, she did. Went and saw that she got it. Whether she ever got any pay for it, it didn't make any difference. She went and found something in the second-hand place, you know, or something like that. Saw that it was workable and tried it out.
Yeah, I was telling Mother that one of the things that's making Helen so worried these days is her mother should really be in, and her father both should be in some sort of a
home mm-hmm.
where they can be taken care of, because mm-hmm. they can't take care of themselves. And her father and mother both are trying to make her and her brother promise that they'll never put them in any place.
Oh, that's
like
just
that.
Awful.
And Mother said, what was it? You talk. I gotta know about Shinedale.
He doesn't know anything about Shinedale?
No.
It's just one of the finest places. It's just, as Aunt Ann says, it sounds like a dream. Willie V, her girlfriend that she knew and all in, is out there now. She had to quit her work. She was a court reporter. And she had heart trouble. So she got to where she couldn't work anything. And she was living with an elder woman that lived in a big home there, across the street from us now. And she didn't have, got to where she couldn't work in the flowers and do anything and everything. So they just decided to go to Shinedale. Well, Shinedale is no poor place. It really is rich. You sure have to pay to get in there, but if you do, you have all kind of things to take care of you with out there. And when Willie V called and asked me what I thought about Annette. She knew that Annette's by herself now, and she's quit teaching this year and all, and has troubles, and so it's by herself, and there's no conveyance or any way to get out of Dyer. She can't even go up to Trenton or anywhere, or to the doctor or anything. There's nobody that's got a taxi or anything out there. So she just has to depend on those cousins, kind of. Well, Willie V knows all of that, you know, and everything, and she just says, well, what do you think about me writing Annette about Shinedale? I says, I just think it would be grand. I've been thinking about it myself, but I just hadn't never said anything about it because I didn't know her finances. I didn't know whether she could finance it or not yet. I don't know. And it's so independent. She's never let you know anything about just what she has. And I said, but I do know that she owns a little home now. And I know that she had some savings and all, and she gets a good retirement fund and all, and then she's on Social Security too now. And I says, I believe she's come to Shinedale. She says, well, I'm just going to write her and send her some brochure about Shinedale. So she did. And then it wrote back. She said, it just sounded like a dream. It was just a dream, but she didn't know what in the world she would do with, how did she dispose of what she had, and how she believed she could finance it. Well, the finances is pretty high. You pay in, well, now, when Shinedale started, it was only $2,000 that you pay for a room that you have at Shinedale. And that gives you your food, and of course your heat and everything to be cared for. And nurses are there, and a doctor is out there. And the only thing that, and you don't pay anything for that, you get their nurses, their attention, all of that, if you need it. And they even roll you, if you can't go to, and be served in your room or anything like that, they'll serve you in your room, or you they'll roll you into the dining room where you eat there. And you eat, can have three meals a day. And you pay, I don't know what they first paid when the Shenandoah was first started. But when they first started, you only paid $2,000 for the room. But I don't know what they paid it the month then, every month. But I do know now what it is, because Willoughby told me. And she said that when they went out there last year, they got in. You have to put your name on, and they have to consider, you know, what you can do and what you would, if you wouldn't be a detriment, I guess, or
drain
or some way on it. They have to take you in and say whether you can have a room. And you have to wait until your time comes up when there's a vacancy. And sometimes some of them have had to wait a year or 2 years to get in, and when there'd be a vacancy. Well, the limit is now, Mrs. Kerr told me that when they went out there last year, they paid $8,000 for the room. It's gone up from when it's first built, from 2,000 to 8,000.
Okay, you have a little kitchen if you want to.
You have a bathroom. And you have a, no, you don't have a kitchen with that kind. You have a nice big room and a nice big bathroom that is just fixed. You don't have a tub. You have a shower, and it's all a rope or whatever it is. Anyway, all the way around that, you can just hold on to anything. And all and up and down the halls, the wig, and from halls to the dining room, anywhere, there's things for you just you can hold on to and walk up by yourself anyway, or you can get a chair and roll up anyway. Well, it's just fixed real nice. Well, anyway, $8,000 now. And it was going up. It was $290 when they went out there, I believe it was, last summer sometime. And it was going up this month. And it did, I believe, she said, told me the other day, $304 it went up for the food and the room that you have to pay every month. But now the $8,000 now, I don't know whether they're going up on that or not. I didn't hear whether the room rent was a room was going up or not. But you don't get any of that $8,000. That's yours as long as you want to stay there, as long as you can stay there. And that's yours. But if when you pass away, well, there's nothing left. It goes
you
off.
You just buy in.
You
the,
just buy that.
The,
mm-hmm. Uh-huh. You buy that. That's not yours. It's just all over then. Nobody gets it but the Shenandoah. But, of course, and as long as you stay there, then you have to pay your room rent.
But everybody has a good time out there.
And they have a good
lot
time.
Of to do.
They have little rooms. They have a nice little sections. I forget now how they call them anyway, sections in there. And they'll have then a room that you can go and sit and read and be by yourself if you want to, or other people will meet you in there, and you can even have a little tea in there in that room if you want to, and you can have teas anytime you want to. And they have they eat real good food, and they have real, of course, it gets like college, just like hotel and things, same kind of stuff, you know, all that. But it's all good and fine. And then they have fruit out in in the dining room, ready for if you are out in the hall. I don't know where it's placed anyway. But you can, they keep oranges and apples and pears and just fruit out there, and you can take that to your room anytime you want to. And you don't have to go to your meals unless you want to, but you pay for it the same. You could just got to pay for, be paid for. But that you can have that, and some of them, and they didn't dress at first, but now then they thought it wasn't, they did it themselves, the patients, I mean the inmates, decided that some of them didn't, it just wasn't too nice, you know, and all of them, they should dress. So they get up and dress for breakfast, and of course put on, don't come in and just with a kimono or something on like that. They get up and dress. And they dress for the meals, so they make it look like it's real nice, and real, just real nice. And they have pianos, a place where they can give recitals if you want to. Some lady out there had a little recital, and they have places, they have a preacher, have prayer meeting, and have church if you want to go. And they have people to come out and give talks. Who is a history teacher at home that that everybody thinks so much of? Ruth.
Whatever her name is.
Ruth. She goes out once or twice a year or season or something and gives talks out there on things. And Miss Penny, the woman who taught music or something anyway.
I can't call her name.
Can't call her name, but you know, she said that they had several musicians, big musicians, I don't know, to come out from, I don't know where the university or where they're from, but she said they'd had to have several recitals, and choruses go out, and they have all kind of something going on all the time. And they have a craft shop. They have, Willie V is taking ceramics now. She's a heart patient, but she's just up and just, and Christmas time, they just decorate. The house is decorated, just beautiful. You just a big, big sitting room that you can go and sit in anytime, just anytime you want to. And then you have these little extra little rooms that you can go, it's called in your little section, you know, that you can kind of be private if you want to get out of your room or anything, and go in there and maybe meet some friends, or just go in there for a different atmosphere. You can walk around anywhere out in the yard, and it's just grand.
And go to town?
You can go to town, but they have a bus that will take you certain times and just certain places. I don't know how often. You can do anything. Your friends, you can have your friends come out there and eat with you, but you have to pay for that meal. Even if you go and eat out that day yourself somewhere, that they don't take it off. Willie V and Ms. Kerr invited three of us out there for lunch. Two or three weeks ago, and for lunch, and they pass the things around. I mean, whatever menu that you want, and you can order anything that you want, you know, and there. And get it now. Willie V is on a diet, and she has us, they fix that certain diet for her, so she gets a certain diet. Heart diet and a deep diabetes, I think, too. I'm not sure. I guess it is. But anyway, the diet, they have diet specialists. You have a nurse if you want to need anything right now. You call on that nurse, and you have that attention. But if you have a stroke or have a broken leg or something like that, you have to pay for that yourself and go in town. They have a nursery. They do have a nursery now. They have added there. But that is separate. You go into that and you pay more for that attention. And if you get to where that you can't wait on yourself, then in this part, this is just like a big home. Everybody, and they're mixing and meeting, and they're having their friends come in and have a glass of tea with them. And some of them said they thought they'd gotten to have a little wine. I don't know. Who's laughing? Teasing Mr. and Ms. Farr. Mr. and Ms. Farr out there now. And so they just...
It's fine for them.
Oh, my. It's just been wonderful, of course. They fought it a long time, but that's just the only thing they can do. He's getting away. He just can't do anything. Dr. Sinkvik has his mother and father out there. Or they finally went out there, and she cried and cried because she had to give up a home, you know, and do away with all of that because they didn't need it anymore. And they went out there, and Peyton said it was going to take so much, it was just going to take all they had or something to go, you know. Well, of course, and they wouldn't have anything to leave the children. Like Charlie's the only son, only child they've got, you know. But she thought the grandchildren would have some. So she's cried. Well, she was invited to my party. She's rheumatic and can hardly get around and roll around in a chair most of the time. But she's out there, she walks to her. And used her hands. She got to where she couldn't use her hands. They were so crippled up. Well, the doctor said he never did hate to do anything. As bad as he did was to tell his father that was just the only thing for him to do and to go out there and that he couldn't get out and mow his yard and do things like that. Take that away from him, but he's out there. And now after she's cried all that long time, and Peg said that it was just miserable for her because they couldn't get in for several months. They sold their place and all, but they couldn't get up. They wanted a double room some way, you know, so they could have two rooms and go in and certain kinds of rooms that you can get, and of course that costs more for your double rooms. I don't know what that costs. And she is just said it was just grand. It was just grand. Now she just said.
I imagine they can raise flowers out there.
Raise flowers out there, Ms.
It's the most wonderful thing.
Martha, Mary Chavan's mother, Ms. Hill, who is a woman that just dealt in flowers all the time and was she went to places and judged them. She was a judge, you know, a long, long time with flower lovers. She was our judge. Uh-huh. She belonged to the one I did, Flower Club. Well, she's fine, and she said she has, I forget how many children she had, and said she had tried staying with every one of them, and said she just came to the own thing, the conclusion. She made up her mind herself, and she said that she just went to Shenandoah. And so Mary goes out every day or two, or then they have your phone. You can phone them any time, talk with them, and... You can have your TV. You can have anything that you want that you can get in your room.
Right, so you're
just living. You can just take what you can. As Ms. Kerr said, that I just just took what I could get in my room, and I've got it full. In some boxes I haven't opened yet. She's been there nearly a year now, and she says, and they have a place. Mm-hmm. The Spars have some place that they can have stored a few things, that you have a little storage room somewhere down in the building somewhere. So they have a few things that they store. And, you are there. You can have your friends. You can do what you please. And
you can be independent.
You can be independent. You can sew. Peg Bortz is out there. And she has now gotten a place that they have down in the new surgery, the doctor's place. and that they found that they couldn't use. And she has taken, they have put up or let her have some of her stuff to make her jewelry with. Mm-hmm. So she's got her little jewelry stuff that she can make out there and got it working some way. I haven't seen that. I haven't been down there. So she's out there. She's had a stroke or two, I think, they said. But she's up. She came to my birthday party. And getting on fine, making things now. But then in this new building that they've got now, Mrs. Wilson, who belonged to the St. Presbyterian Church, and she is a preacher's wife. And she's Ms. Camels, T. Camels. I don't know whether you all ever knew or not. Anyway, they are an old family thing. Well, she has gotten such high blood pressure that she was just falling around all the time and couldn't take care. She would live by herself a long time after her husband died until she finally, she's out there and gone to she's in the doctor's department. But as Willie V said, if you get there before, you get where you have to be dependent, you know, on somebody to wait on you all the time, have a nurse, you know, to wait on you and can't wait on yourself. They'll let you go down to this other place, but you have to pay more. If you get there, though, before you get that way and are in this other department, you don't have to pay any more when you go down. First go in, but when you first go and are that way, why you pay more to enter down there. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that is, but anyway, as Willoughby says, now if Annette would, the thing is, if she'd come before she gets down dependent,
uh-huh.
You know, before you get dependent, why, and have to have, but when they do, then they move them out of this section now, of this other. And they go down to the other place if to be cared for. And you don't see those people who are so terribly, you know, real sick. You know, you don't see that much. You'll see them maybe with a little cripple walk with sticks and things like that.
But you don't have
people. You don't feel like it's awful.
Like
and it is people, some of them out there that are 60 years old and all. And that man that used to make so many things up at the church, and they let him have a little place out there before he died that he made all kind of these little tools and things like that to work with it. And he got him a little place. And they had a fair where they make their, they sold all the people in the building that wanted to. Made the things, you know, and put them on and had a fair, and I don't know what they did, whether they got the money or whether it went to Shenandoah that they made off of it. But if you want to make anything or do anything, and Willie V was made Christmas, little Christmas trees, the cutest little things, and she just, Ms. Kerr says she just works, so she's just right into everything. She's active, and she says, I'm afraid she does too much. She goes down and rests, though. She says she doesn't go to sleep in the daytime much, but says she goes and lies down. They nearly all will go to lunch. They have an early lunch, and they'll go to lunch, and then they'll go back, and they'll be dressed up. They'll, of course, look on a decent dress. You don't have to have on just real fine dress, but you have to be dressed. And they go back, and most of them have a quiet hour, you know, usually, in their rooms, rest. So it's all nice and quiet if you want to. And then they get up, and you can see them stirring around out in the hall, going from one place to the other. You can walk yourself to death. It's a big place that you can take all the walks that you want in the house. And
then they have it's pretty outside.
It's getting pretty outside. Of course, it was a big plain place at first. It's just a wonderful place to go to, I tell you. I think that would be where I'd go when I get to where I don't have a home to go to.
It makes you feel mighty good, though. That
if you to think that you've got to have some money though to get in, it's not a cheap place. But of course, in a nursing home now, as Annette says, you have to pay about $300 to go to a nursing home, just a plain nursing home where you don't have all the care and everything that you have. Like this, this is just like a home, and do what you want to, and have what you want to do, and just go anywhere. Ms. Nagel just goes, she goes all the time. She just goes to something all the time. And they have things out there for you to go to. You really do. Ms. Spar has taken a lot. She has give talks and things like that, you know, along. She's really been in everything, even before she goes. So she goes, I think, on Tuesday mornings, maybe, or Tuesday mornings, and gives a little talk to the
crowd. But I think it's sad that Helen's mother and father
won't agree to go to something
and
you could just like that.
Helen's father is one of the fine ministers.
They've been in the ministry
all this time. And yet they can't see that it makes it so hard on the other people, for the family. They can't take care of themselves.
Well, Charlie just saw that they couldn't live with him and with them, and they just want anything but
for his daddy to be unhappy living with them.
But he said it was close enough. But she says, he wants her to change her little sofa that she's got out there in her room, and all. And it's an old timey, and it's hard to sit on. He says, why, you just can't sit on this old chair, this sofa. Says, I want you to get it fixed up, soft and good, so people can rest on it. And she says, but says he don't stay long enough to sit on it. And he comes, says he don't come and stay long enough to sit on it, but says he wants me to have it fixed up in the late style, and she wants to keep that old time sofa, you know, kind of, you know, in her room to make it look that. And I forget how many Irene. Let me see, I forget what her name was, but she had more silver. Oh, more antiques than myself. She was a long time of getting in out there. She thought she was going to take a double room and all and take all her stuff, but she finally came down to just taking a small room and all. But they said she brought the most beautiful stuff out there, cut glass and silver and stuff, and I don't know whether she's got it stuck around out in the hall or whatever. And at Christmas time, we were out there, and they had the cutest thing. Different ones would have whatever people would want them, if whatever they wanted on their door, they'd have that on their door. But the big living room, a big reception room, was just beautiful. It was just pretty. They had it all so decorated. And Miss Kerr said, "Will it be help to do all of that? You can volunteer and stay at the desk." And kind of tell people, you know, when they come out there, where people's room, how to get there, and all like that. You can volunteer and do it. Mr. Spar is collecting the paper that's delivered out there. The paper boy delivers the papers to you. You can have your paper taken out. And he delivers it and collects it and puts it in a place for the boy to come get them that collects papers, and said the boy makes enough on those papers out there to pay for something. I don't know what it is. And he just got that little job to do. And the wards, they have so many. Frank Ward. Well, they have a little house, little extra house that was rooms out there, and they took for kitchen and was going to do all the work, you know. I mean, going to keep house out there and everything. And somebody said, well, they hadn't eaten, cooked a meal out in that house all at all. So they just come over and eat over the place all the time. I don't know what they had to pay for that kind of special things, of course, that had to be. But they go on a lot of trips. They just close up that little room, and they've been on several big trips out at different places, take things. Oh, and I think you have flowers probably raising out there. Ms. Hill was going to say she was in when we went in to see her, and she was repotting some plants. And she just had pot plants all in her place, you know, because she just loves the flowers and loves to grow them. And she was just repotting plants and having them, you know, out there in her room. Ms. Kerr says, "Why?" Well, says, "You can do anything you want to out here." And she says, I said, "You all are so busy." I said, "I couldn't even get you on the phone. I've called you 2 or 3 times." She said, "Well, we just in and out so much, you know, in and out." And they invited out a lot and go to things. Of course, some of the people there in town had so many friends, of course, there. Well, it's just a wonderful place. It really is.
Well, it just
to
takes
think
the
about.
Sting out of
but you have
wondering what if you
can get in. That's the trouble. I don't know how many they can. Now, since they've gotten this new place, they send the people who get dependent and everything down too, you know. They have extra room. And of course, people die and leave a place. And it's something like that. It comes vacant. You just have to wait now. There's so many on the list for the place.
But it
is a lot to think about now, paying $8,000 right now.
Well, you're just buying into a place. Yeah.
Like buying your house. And, sure. Of course, so you'd leave your house to somebody. But, of course, you can't do this.
You're just turning this over to help somebody else.
You just turn it over. Yeah, somebody else can buy in and have a place for them to live.
I really am
sold on it. Because... Of course, right now, I've got so many friends out there that you go out and you visit around with them.
That's
I just
the idea that she thinks like that is
this, and some of them don't wait until they get too old, just like this.
Like the wards.
Like the wards have done. They just decided that she couldn't do that anymore, and he was retired, and I don't know, they just went. There's several places I think like that.
You know, one of the nicest things about it, and this is something you can't compete with at home. Now you take suppose I didn't want to go to a place like that. Suppose I wanted to stay here, so I just got someone to live out here.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing I can't get is first aid.
You can get your first aid. That's right, and that's what Ms. Miss Fodge.
You don't have to go out to get it. They'll come in to get you.
They're right there. That's what Miss Sparr said about Mr. Sparr. She can go off and leave him.
That's it. That's it. And she says, living in the hive like a bee.
And she says that I don't worry now about leaving. She says she don't leave him a whole lot because he's getting where he stays on the bed all right small of the time now, and he goes into his meals and all and collects the papers and still does that, but he's getting where he don't walk too good. And Frances says, she's just about as bad as off as he is. So she has been so active all her life in doing things for out in the public and before the public. She's been to United Nations and sitting in on that, and she's been to Germany and Italy and talked on things. Well, she's just really been a public woman.
Yeah, I know that.
You know that she has.
Ms. Sparr.
Ms. Sparr.
Yeah.
Neil Sparr and his wife.
Oh, yeah.
And they have beautiful things in their home.
And so she said that she feels like, you know, there's the nurse. I think their room is practically just a room or two before the nurse's room is. And she said she just feels like they can look after him, you know. They will, and all look after you. I don't know how many nurses they have on call, but they have a good many nurses. There was 3 or 4 I saw in the hall there that day when I was out there.
I'd like to see a nurse around sometimes.
Well, there's a lot of
feelings at all. That's
the truth.
Just to have access to a nurse.
Well, it certainly is a nice place to think about. It really is. It really is a nice place to be. The only thing is, that's what I just think about Ann. But Ann's got nobody to call on to help her dispose of her stuff and to do what to do with. And then you can't dispose of it. She can't until she knows where she's going, you know, because she's got to live somewhere, you know, then, until then. And you don't know just when you're going to get in this place. You've got to have your name on there and the place for you before.
Well, she better just go ahead and apply.
Well, that's what I think, that she ought to go ahead and apply. And if the time comes up that there's a place for and her time name comes up, if she can't take it then, why, just don't take it. She just don't take it, I reckon. You just can't take it. But,
She probably could get a loan on that house.
Well,
until it got sold.
She probably could. Franny was just wondering about it. Franny said, well, I wish I could just go and down there and just get everything cleared up and just bring her home and bring her over here. And she had done the cutest thing, I think, though, in one way that she has been, has entertained us there. You know, she's always played lots of bridge. Well, she's gotten where she don't go to bridge parties much, just once in a while or something. And I think she's off of most of all of anything much. I don't think she goes anywhere because she doesn't get to church much because she don't walk that far. And but she has, Georgia has just sent her an organ over there, and she's had an organ in the house, and she's got two pianos too, and so she has just she goes and plays those things and takes them. I mean, has them on. On the sound. And then she says she's had more fun recording those things on the tape, and then she says I've had just as much fun listening to them, listening to think that there I am sitting there playing those things.
She got 72.
She said 72 or something. And I think it's wonderful that she's had passed that time away like that.
I had just a little note.
You have a note
for
me?
No. She said,
I think it's.
She said, I know this sounds dumb, but she said, I like to hear myself play. And she said, I just been sitting listening to my tapes.
Well, her eyes are bad too, and so
her
she's and fingers
and her
are getting stiff.
You know?
Yeah.
And some of the pieces she played for Bill Elliott way back.
Way back, long years ago. I said,
I
bet she did. I bet she did. And you know, she used to play for the little picture shows that used to have the piano going all, you know, piano player going all those popular pieces and everything. And she could just sit down and remember and play those things and now just hit off those things, you know, play. I bet she's got a lot of tapes with those on
ragtime
stuff. And she'll have some of her class. Maybe that she took her class. I bet she's had some of those too. Sure, she has to have that many. But I think it's real cute that she's has adjusted herself so much like that. She likes to put crossword puzzles together, and I never thought that she'd do a thing like that. And she works those puzzles and papers and things like that. Always has. Suge does too. She sits down and tears out that puzzle and works. That works those things every night.
Well, what got Mother talking about this
on the
way home?
Was about Helen, wasn't it?
Because Helen, she said it made it so hard on her and Cooper when the parents just couldn't take care of themselves and yet refused to go anyway, even to their house or Cooper's house.
Uh-huh.
So your hands are just tied. What they want Helen to do is just to leave here and come up there and stay with her. And Helen says, if they were sick, really sick, there wouldn't be any question. I'd go up. But they're just where they can't take care of themselves. and it's she all she could think of was they just weren't they were just.
Yeah, you've said that 3 times.
Yeah, couldn't think of it.
Why don't y'all walk around?
I think we should.
Okay. Well, it's just really red. That wind's cold, though.
Yeah.
It's still cold. Yeah.
What did you say, Mama?
I said that wind was cold, and I said it was a miracle. Had happened.
Oh, yeah. That won't happen often, brother. As much grass as it is around here.
Well, that, yeah. Well, when I was out there, I was standing waiting for the car. I saw something on the ground and it looked a little different from anything. So I felt down there to see about it. I thought, well, maybe something is down there.
You know, that's going there over there. You know, it's right chilly. Right fresh.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't call it chilly. It's just right fresh. You got to have your circulation up. More than most people would have, I think, indoors.
Yeah, it's a little bit needs. They all had jackets on, everybody.
Oh, did they?
Yes, sir. We saw Leroy came up to the store and he had a big jacket on.
Who?
Leroy.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, did he? He's sort of
thin anyway, though, isn't he?
Thin blooded.
Well, I think the women had on jackets too. Sweaters. Well, I can't think of who was that with Jane. I never can remember her name.
Miss Agnes.
You don't know Miss Agnes too well, do you?
Not too well. Just
she
doesn't
come to your Sunday school.
No. Yeah, she don't go to, I don't think she comes to Sunday school much.
Where does she go?
She just comes to church when they have church, I think.
Well, she's learned, hasn't she?
When Mother, when I drove up, Miss Agnes says, well, this is, now we know why we have cold weather.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, Mamma was here?
Yeah.
Brought it.
And they say I bring weather.
Why do you all eat soup? Because you can eat so much of it. You can eat more soup, it doesn't hurry up as much as other things.
No. Kind of fills you up, but it don't last long. Don't last as long.
I get so hungry for your vegetable soup.
Franny's been making it lately. Nice smart, too, but it's still, it's not like my soup, my mind. Not like my spaghetti, you know. I used to make spaghetti. I cook it a lot. It might have been after you left me. But I used to have a big dish of spaghetti with, and it always had my, what little chicken I had left or what little this I had left, you know, or something in with it, you know, not only cheese and things like that. And it really made a, just a whole big kind of casserole, you know, in a way. One just spaghetti. But that used to be my meat and everything for a meal. So I haven't had any like that in a long time. What kind of soup is this?
Chicken.
Chicken? I can't tell. I'm from my nose sometimes. This is good. Yeah. I've loved soup, always have.
Mm-hmm.
There's a funny feeling that goes over you when you find something that's been lost.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Oh, a surprise.
Relief.
A relief.
Well, I'd resign.
You had to kind of resign.
I don't know. I've got the remedy for it now. I just won't leave the desk with them on. I just been doing it.
If they are reading glasses, you really, that would be sensible.
Yeah.
For you to not.
Well, I can wear them out too, but the others feel better. And then I don't have the sunglasses on these. But I'll work it out in there. Faith, we were talking about Stevie this morning. And Mamu, the way she represented, from the way she picks it up, Stevie is almost, is just about to amount to something.
Yeah, he really, in his line, he's going to be a... I don't know what club he had to talk, or what he was talking about the other day, but he was made a speech at it. It was some club and in town, and Russ heard him. He went over and heard him, and he told Florence that he never was as proud of him as he was in that speech. That he made the most marvelous speech, the way he presented whatever it was he was presenting something. I don't know.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And well, Russ is pretty good himself.
Oh, he's a good speaker. And he's, of course, I don't know. They say, Steve says that he doesn't write it down or anything. It seems to come kind of natural with him. He thinks it out or something like that.
Oh.
And he's just fine to get up and make a speech extemporaneous, whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
And he can make one like that, too. He was a good one.
What was that word, Mama?
I can't say it.
What was it?
Anyway, it's just on the spur of the moment. Nothing makes
what?
One. But I can't say it.
Extemporaneous?
Yeah. I couldn't get it out. But anyway, of course, now Russ never said that to any of us, anybody, but Florence told me, told us about it, and said he actually said he never was as proud of anything.
Well, I don't know why he shouldn't tell you.
No, of course he wouldn't tell it, but he might say something else somewhere else, but just once in a while you say, well, he made a good speech yesterday or something like that, just...
Did you take it?
So.
And he got a raise.
Got a raise, and he was just. Well, he really is a good worker when he does something. He puts his mind to it. Florence does too. When she has to study old stuff sometimes to work things out, but she really worked it.
Well, he come by pretty well, both of them. Russ and Florence can get things done.
Russ is a good, I don't know if he really is a good master of ceremonies.
Russ is?
When he carries on real good.
I like to hear him.
And he loves to do it. He's got a good voice.
Yeah.
And he looks like a king.
He and Flossie make the grandest looking couple.
You talk about a presence.
Oh, me. They really do.
Ooh.
Everybody, she's so fine looking herself. She's really fine looking. And she dresses so nice now. And, Lord, she gets her hair fixed every week. And her nails clean, fixed every week. I never had my nails fixed in my life.
Yeah.
She gets it all done.
Yeah.
And she's on Social Security herself now. She gets up and says she does what she pleases with.
Well, how'd she be on Social Security? As much as she income as she has.
Well, she's got it from, gets it on him. From him. Fanny is too.
Fanny's on Social Security?
Yeah, she gets just about as much as I do. She gets more than Florence. Florence, I guess she makes more than Russell has. Of course, Papu took out, you know, he took the cheapest job he ever had, and he went on Social Security.
Yeah.
He sure did hate to do that.
Who are the Steve's wife's, what's her name?
Choi. C-H-O-Y-E. Choi. Her mother and father had some trouble, and they had had some recently, so they've kind of made up, I think, all right. And Choi goes between them. I think she's really, I don't know.
Well, now, this job she had, Mambo.
Oh, well, she got this job on her own, just went out and asked for this hostess. To be a hostess in a big, I forget how many rooms. Seems to me like it's 200 room place.
In a hotel?
And they had a woman there too that was working, and they were going to bring in, I think, add 200 more or something.
Good
I don't know what it is. But anyway, Choi was just seemed to be taking, she was just kind of taking the lead, or at least this woman that was there was just letting Choi do it. Or anyway, I don't know how it was, but Choi just got enough of it, and she wasn't going to take any more of it.
Well, now she had the apartment didn't work out.
No, they were. She was. They were. No, Stevie had an apartment. And they had it rented for so long when they married then, and they had to give it up at a certain time. Well, when she got this job then, this job was supposed to to include an apartment and everything. And so when they waited a little while or something about it before they had to give their own apartment up, but they had had it. It was one of those apartments, so they had rented, and then they had to give it up a certain time. So they had to get out. And they would have promised her when she took this job then as being hostess and in this big apartment that she would have it in the next month, by the next month, first month. Well, that month passed, and they then had to, of course, give up their apartment, and so they either had to stay with her mother or stay with Russ and them. They just kind of take a time out, I think, of staying over there at night. Well, Steve's job that he has this time, he has to be out and has a lot of different calls out of town and different things, and so and he has to know where he is and what he's doing.
No way to reach him.
Well, he just had stood that 3 months now. They went on 3 months of kind of living like that. So finally, Choi just one day she'd gotten enough of it. So she just told them that something had to be done. There's something that they'd had the promise of that place in 3 months, and they had to have a place. So she just resigned right now. I think she went out to a boy had come up to take an apartment, and they told him he had to move his car or do something some way, you know, and all that. Lord, he was just raised Cain and everything, about that too. So I think that made her kind of open my eyes about, you know, what she had to do and what kind of people maybe she had to contend with too a lot, I think, in a way. So she just went to the master or the head man or something, and she just talked it over with him and everything. And he still didn't know just exactly when that they could get an apartment. So she just said, well, they had to have an apartment. They had to have a place to live. And they didn't even pay for that 3 months of them staying anywhere. If they'd had gone and rented a place, they didn't even do that, when that would have been in on their apartment, you know, and all. So they didn't come up with that. Well, she just resigned right now.
She won't have any trouble
getting
a job.
No, Lordy. She goes right out and gets one. She had already had an opportunity of having another place in somewhere doing something. I don't know.
Now they go out to Arkansas.
Oh, her grandfather, her mother's father, has a big ranch. I forget how many hundreds and hundreds of acres of land. He's a big cattle man out there. And so they told them in the summertime, or after they married a little while, that they could come out there, and they would be in the fall, I guess it was. And they'd give them part of a beef, you know, while they were there. They'd kill a beef.
And freeze it.
And of course, freeze it, and then they could bring it home. And so they went out in the car, and they stayed a week. Oh yes, it happened in haying time. It was a big haying time, and said Stevie would come out and help them, because it was hard to get help too, you know, in haying time. And he went out. He said he never hayed in his life, you know, never did in that. He said he sure was hot. But he went out and helped them in the hay, and they gave him a half a beef to bring home with him. So he said, I think it was Memphis or Nashville. I don't know which it was now. Anyway, they stopped, and I think had the beef, whatever, how they was bringing it, was frozen, of course, from ice. So I had to get new ice or some way, you know, had to do something with that. Because they brought home, and so they put in their mother and daddy's freezer, I think, I had where it was.
Who was telling you about that, man? Stevie didn't tell you.
No, Stevie didn't tell us. Well, I believe he did say tell us about going out there and getting the beef and haying. I believe I did hear him say that.
I just wondered if Stevie had any talk to him.
Not too much. Not too much on him. Only about business.
I guess his parents sort of keep the floor open.
Oh, yeah.
They both.
Well, he carries on, and Choi does. Choi's, she can carry it on.
Oh, can she?
Mm-hmm.
Well, does she tell you things?
No, I don't know. I don't know who told me that. It's just kind of old talk about that.
Well, I mean, Choi, and, she does tell you things.
Oh, yeah, she'll tell you, talk about it. And so this not long ago, her granddaddy has some heart trouble. He has heart spells.
Out in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. And so her mother had to go out this week two ago. It was cold out there. And I don't know how she went. Well, she just flew a high anyway. Yeah, I guess so. But anyway, the daddy and Choi then went out. Steve was off on some trip for almost a week, I think, though, while she was gone, too. So she and her daddy went out there, and so they brought back some beef. They were to bring back some beef again. I don't know how they got the beef. I haven't heard whether they got home with the beef this time or not.
There ought to be some state like Arkansas where people are not bothered with heart trouble. You could go out there and just ranch forever and ever.
I bet it was Flossie that told you that.
It must have been. I don't know. I guess did, because I haven't seen Choi, I don't think, since you got home.
Yeah.
But one thing that, you see, Florence had had this hand operation on both hands, and she couldn't squeeze anything or do anything. She could use her fingers, but she couldn't. So, and Choi was still in this apartment. She had that business, and so she couldn't get off until after 7 o'clock at night. So she did come out one night or two and stay while Flossie was having the worst time, maybe. But she couldn't get there in time for supper or anything like that. Do anything much about it. No, she could probably help clean up a little. So Fanny went out all that week. We went out nearly, I forget how many days of the week that she was in the hospital, or the days that she was there. After she got home, then came home while Fanny went out and bathed her. She couldn't even bathe herself, couldn't use her hands, you know. And she took Francis fixed lunch and enough stuff for their supper. And then there was friends that sent in things like that to just warm up casseroles, you know. And Russ is right good with cooking his toast and bacon and eggs, things like that. He could do that. But Fanny looked after her for a whole week, and we did just about it. And Choi was busy all that time, so she did come, though, one night or two and stay out and help what little she could. The other time, she said, it was just worrying Steve. He didn't know whether to have clothes there, whether to give his number there or give it down to the other place.
Yeah.
And so he was still just worried all about that. So that was one thing. He just kept her kind of worried. So she just quit that job.
What kind of work does Stevie do?
It's with the scouts, and it's with the...
He works with the scouts.
Oh, he's one of the head... one in the office, and head... one of them now. Of course, not the head, but he's got a real important place in it.
Well, you know, you've got to have a certain turn to be in the scouts, you wouldn't last long.
Oh, yeah. And this man said he wished he had some more like it.
That
he really was a worker.
What do you know?
The head man. He is. When he takes over world, just like Russ. Russ, when he's got a job, he's really takes it over.
Yeah, he can do it.
He's good in that every line he had when he was with the city, whatever it was, he managed in the city department. He was really good.
When he left, they
and he left there on this other place. I don't know how he got in with the TV.
I think I'll buy me a watch like that sometime and say that's what they gave me when I left a certain place. That's as close as I'll ever come. Unless they just give me a watch to leave.
To leave?
It's going to give me a bonus if I'll consent to leave.
But anyway, that's it. But she was, Flossie was just a little bit fretted because she was with the DAR when they had that big thing. She offered a home, and Russ was real proud. He was proud for her to do it, and he helped her paint and do around and fix up for it. Well, there was head people in this DAR business all over the, I think came in from New York, and I don't know, all out, a lot of the states, different people in it, you know, and there seemed to be 75 people, and so Floss, they were to have a caterer to come out and cater the food, but Flossie was to let them have the home and all in Russ. And she was right proud. She had to fix up the house and help it to be served, get things too. So she had thought that little Choi would come, you know, be nice for her to come over and meet those people and too, and would help her out. That is why her hands were sore and she couldn't do much work about it. Well, Franny decorated the table and got that all fixed up for her. But where they had the other meetings and things of this club when they met, well, they brought all the flowers out there to Floss's house, and you can imagine how it really was decorated. It was just beautiful. It was a big, handsome arrangement, you know, big things, and it really made her house really. It was more camellias and orchids and just handsome things. Well, and so of course Choi said that yes, she would come out there and help do anything that she could help, you know, at all. So she expected, and so the day of the time that came, why, she called out there and said, was it just real necessary that she come? Oh.
She had to go fishing one time.
Oh, this was another time. But this was time I never did hear why she didn't come. So Stevie came by, though, and he thought she was out there and came by while they were having the being served, you know. And he wanted to know where Choi was. Well, Choi wasn't there. I never did hear where she was. But Florence says, no, it's not necessary that you come. But she had thought that she could be of some help to her, you know, with her hands all like they were. And then she wanted to meet Choi. She's very attractive, and she wanted to show her off, too. That was fun. Oh, man. To all of these high DARs.
Well, Choi has got this, her family, where she's got to go.
Well, she was down at her, they were at her mother's then, the nights that, well, this was going on. They were down there, so I don't know what they were doing, where they were going, or what. Anything about it.
You see, Choi's parents.
Well, they had been on a little riff, and they'd gotten together, and they were having some parties and things down at their house. She'd never given Rusty. She'd never given her husband, Rusty, a birthday party, but he had a birthday party just a day maybe or two before this big party. And, of course, Choi had to help him there, give a big party. I think she had two big parties right along that time while Flossie was had hand trouble and all like that. So she was helping out down there.
Remember, that sounds like the in-laws don't get together too much.
Well, they have been very nice and very and all, so they're trying to be. I mean, they did, so they all decided that, at least the Hillises decided then, they just let things go. And so when she asked her the other day to go to Oslo, she got her in Oslo and paid for it all herself. She was so proud of it, she didn't want to do. She thought it was the grandest thing to belong to Oslo. She thought you had to live there all your life to get in and do so and so. She had what she had heard about it. So the guardian officer, well, she was to be there at one of the mornings that someone would go over all the new, with the new members, you know, the rules and everything that had to be done, you know. Officer, well, she thought sure that she'd be there that day, and she told her the night she was out, they were out at their house, that they'd be there, she'd be there, and she'd go to Oslo with her the next morning. And that was when she called and told her she'd come by for her and pick her up, take her to Oslo. She said, well, somebody had called and wanted her to go fishing. So she just told them that she...
Oh, that was Choi's mother that did that.
No, that was Choi. That was really Choi.
Oh, Choi's the one that got in Osley.
Mm-hmm. She got in Osley.
At her age?
Yeah, she got in the... They have a young... you can get in with the young department. They have charge of the young... the girls' club there in town.
I didn't know there was a...
Well, we actually helped to organize a girls' club there, and we were really, really proud of it.
So that's the junior, actually.
Uh-huh, the junior. Mm-hmm.
Well, they haven't had that long.
No, we haven't had it, I guess, five years, maybe more than that. It's really, has gotten to be a big thing.
I don't believe young people are very responsible. Remember what Faye said? You know, Steve was so fond of Faye. And when Faye was there, I don't know, when they first married, and Faye was there after her operation, mm-hmm. Steve wanted her to come out and meet Joy. And so they invited Faye out, presumably for supper. And Faye went. I don't know what time. But Faye likes to eat fairly well on time.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah, that is when they were keeping house, when they had an apartment. Mm-hmm.
So they kept visiting, and she didn't say they didn't have any way to come home.
No, of course.
And it got, you know, she went out around 7:30 or 8 or something like that. It got to be 10 o'clock, and nobody said anything about food. And Faye called her mother and said, well, she
didn't
know what to do, but she thought she ought to get home. And her mother said, well, have you eaten? And Faye could hardly say anything on the telephone, but she said, well, she didn't think so, or something like that. And about that time, Choi came to the door and, in a helpless way, said, would you like an omelet?
Like an omelet. Mm-hmm.
She got out of Burr Bride's book.
She's a good cook. She makes some grand dishes.
She does it now?
Well, she knew how to do it then. But that was just that way. They just...
And Steve goes along with that.
Well, yeah. Well, he don't come in until a certain time, late or something like that, when he wants to. She's really a worker. Just right after they were married and came off the honeymoon and everything, got there. Well, their mother and them had, mother, they had made a big garden out at their place.
Oh, yeah.
And just had more nice tomatoes and beans and everything like that. And I think her mother had been, was over in Arkansas then, or some, anyway. She just went and canned more tomatoes